I'm joined today by Mr. Siva Kumar. He's the consultant plastics and reconstructive surgeon, also a specialist in skin cancer at the Mackinder Centre in East Grinstead. Also clinical director of plastic surgery at the Queen Victoria Hospital, also in East Grinstead. And he's the chair of the specialist multidisciplinary team for Kent. Siva, hello. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I wanted to talk to you particularly because you're a skin cancer specialist in melanomas particularly. Could you talk through a little bit about the type of melanomas, how we get them, and how the treatment is progressing?
Sure. So melanoma is a type of skin cancer, and it's one of the types of skin cancers that we worry about the most because it has the potential to move from where it's been growing on your skin to other parts of your body, and if that happens, it can really go on to cause some serious damage and potentially be life-threatening. And we know that if we can diagnose melanoma at a really early stage, it's potentially curable. And so we do everything we can to try and identify melanomas at the earliest stage possible.
So let me give you an example of something that happened personally in my family, which puzzled me, and I wonder, maybe you can clarify why this happened. So I have a sister who had a suspect mole on the inside of her thigh, and when it was investigated, it turned out to be nasty and it needed to be removed. What puzzled us was my sister has very fair skin, but she's allergic to the sun. So as a child, my parents were really careful with her because her skin would react, and so she had very strong protection. And as far as I remember, I don't recall her ever getting badly sunburned. And it was a surprise to us that Anne should be the one that had this particular melanoma or type of skin cancer on her inner thigh as well. Why would that be?
So I think when you look at some of the research that's going at sun exposure, you find that the vast majority of sun exposure happens when you're a child. So there have been reports that up to 60% of your lifetime sun exposure happens by the time you're 14 years of age. And that's because when you're a child, you're outside at break times playing, you're on holiday, and you know, you're probably wearing shorts and you're running around the beach. And certainly in days gone by, we probably weren't using as much sun protection or as sun aware as we are now. So I think a lot of that damage, unfortunately, might have occurred at a much earlier stage in your sister's life. And as we get older, these issues start to come out, which is what I suspect has happened. I think when you've got fair skin, it suggests that you've got North European genes, and that does also predispose you to skin cancers more.
Is there a genetic link? I mean, could that be explained as not being sun damage? Can you spontaneously develop a melanoma?
The vast majority of melanomas are caused by UV exposure, caused by the sun. So there are certainly pockets of people out there with a genetic component to it, but there are people that are just generally more prone to getting it, and those are people that with fair skin, blue eyes, North European ancestry are people that are more prone to UV damage.
Okay, so are there different types?
There are many different types of melanomas. The vast majority actually happen on your skin, but you can get rarer types, which you can get in your nails, under your feet, in the palms of your hands, and even rarer ones than that, which can happen in your eyes, ocular melanomas and mucosal melanomas as well. But they are incredibly rare.
And is that all due to sun damage?
No. So the ones that you see on the skin are all mainly related to sun damage. The others, we don't actually really know the etiology behind it at all, but we think they probably have more of a genetic component.
Really? In your nails?
Absolutely, yeah. They're known as acral melanomas.
And it's under the bed of the nail, is it?
And it can grow along, and you see it as a brown streak. And there are some famous cases. So Bob Marley died of an acral melanoma.
Really? Okay. So treatment. Have we made any advances in the treatment of melanoma?
Absolutely. I think the world of melanoma has changed. And certainly over the past 5-6 years, there have been some fairly seismic changes in how we treat melanoma. Now, the basics of melanoma, which is to try and diagnose and identify the melanomas at the earliest stage, remains exactly the same. Other than that, we're using something known as dermatoscopes, which is a magnified instrument with a polarized light. And that helps us to identify or differentiate between what we think is a normal mole compared to what we think is a melanoma. So that's become common practice to use that to try and identify melanomas at a much earlier stage. But the principal treatment remains removing the melanoma, and that involves surgery, and if it's small enough, under local anaesthetic, to remove it completely, send it away for analysis, make sure we've got rid of it. And often we come back a second time to remove extra skin around that to make sure it doesn't come back and cause any further damage. So that element of things has remained exactly the same. Where there have been developments have been where we're trying to identify if the melanoma has spread further from the skin into other parts of your body. One of the more common areas that the melanoma can spread to are your lymph nodes. Now, you have lymph nodes in your neck, under your arms, in your groin, and they're essentially the policemen and women of your body. They have all your body's immune cells harboring any bugs, any cancer cells, anything that shouldn't be floating around, and it tries to keep them there for as long as possible. So if we can identify at a microscopic stage whether melanoma cells have travelled elsewhere, then we can potentially deliver treatment to these people much earlier as well. So that procedure is known as sentinel node biopsy. We started that service here at the Queen Victoria Hospital almost 3 years ago, and it's really gone from strength to strength. And we're treating well over 200 patients using that technique now, and we see patients from all over Kent, Sussex and parts of Surrey as well. And the real benefit is that, as I said, you're identifying metastatic disease at a much earlier stage. We're sending these patients to see an oncologist at a much earlier stage. And the oncologists now have access to drugs which they didn't have a few years ago that could potentially be curable for these patients. And that's really revolutionised how we're treating melanoma. And we hope that over the next few years we'll certainly get the data and the papers to suggest that it's made a real impact in terms of how long people live once you've had the diagnosis of metastatic melanoma.
That's really encouraging, isn't it? Because for many years, certain types of melanoma, it was a sentence, really. That was it. There was only one way it was going to go. But now that's not the case.
Absolutely. So the oncologists really didn't have the same armamentarium of drugs that they could offer. I think they were fairly limited. Whereas now that there are certainly some very, very exciting drug therapies out there. I'm by no means an oncologist, but depending on the type of melanoma that you have, you either have immunotherapy drugs or something known as targeted drugs, which can target melanoma cells much easier. And there's ways in which we can actually analyse the type of melanoma you have, and that then helps oncologists deliver what they feel is the best treatment. But absolutely, the world of melanoma, and certainly from an oncology point of view, if you have got metastatic melanoma, has definitely changed in the past few years.
So the future's looking encouraging, it's looking bright. The research that's going into this, where is that primarily happening? Is it in this country? Is it abroad? Or is there a world effort on this? Or are there areas that are leading on this type of research?
I think it's happening everywhere. I think everybody tries to do their part. But certainly pre-COVID, there were lots of trials that were happening in the UK. But these were very similar trials that were being funded throughout Europe and also in America as well. So, and it becomes a very joint effort in order to identify what the best treatment is for these patients.
Oh, that's really encouraging. Well, Siva, I'm sorry, we've run out of time today. So thank you very much for speaking to us. That's Siva Kumar, Consultant Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeon at the Mackindo Centre at East Grinstead and at the Queen Victoria Hospital, also in East Grinstead.